No Borders Radio and everbeyond.info. Be prepared to leave your belief systems behind as we go beyond teachers, beyond gurus, beyond duality, ever beyond, 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 beyond.
Work in this past quarter has been kind of insane. I had something on the lines of 7 to 8 papers to write per week, which takes up a lot of time, and then other things start slipping. So some of my healing work has been not slipping in quality, but slipping. I just didn't have enough time to do as many hours as I needed to actually earn the amount of money that I need to survive, right? So I'm actually going to put this out there today that if anybody wants to send a donation my way at the moment, I would be very grateful, right? Because things have been really, really tight and I'm very, very tired, right? I'm also doing a special on all of my sessions at the moment. And for all of that, you can go to my website, that is katiegalanti.com. Or reclaimingthelight.com, or the same website comes up under both domains. I'm very clever. I've managed to accomplish this. same two domains, same website. Yay.
That's right. The mystery of domain redirection. Yes.
That's right. you know, considering that I'm totally self-taught on this, I'm kind of proud of myself because I've designed the website all by myself and so on, right? So, anyway, if there's glitches in there, you know why.
Yes, and it looks very well, and it's lovely.
It's kind of tidy, right? Tidy and clean. Then I may change the look of it a little bit as I go further, but at least for the moment, all the information that needs to be there is there. And it should be kind of easy to navigate, right? So if you go to my website, you'll see that there's a thing to the side that's on the right side that says holiday specials. You can go and have a look and take a look at that. And if you feel like sending me a donation, I will also be very, very happy. Okay? And it will allow me a bit of time to rest because I'm really tired. So apart from that, what has been going on? Well, I've just finished writing my newsletter, right? And I always think I should write a newsletter every month, right? And then I start writing the newsletter, and then I realize why I don't write a newsletter every month. Because it takes me forever.
It's hard to keep it on the one topic because so many things are part of, you know, it's like you're teasing one thread of a huge tapestry.
That's right. And in some ways, you know, some people send out newsletters that are basically, hey, hello, I'm here. And they're almost like a form of advertising, right? And I'm not saying that I don't do that also. but I always feel that it's almost like it's a condensation of various things that that I want to say. And it always ends up being this really big, long, involved thing. And actually, I have a guy in the UK that republishes every single one of them as an article on his online magazine, right? Because they're kind of meaty and chunky, and obviously they're useful to some, at least to somebody, at least to the guy in the UK, they're useful to him, right?
No, I find them very useful. Particularly the one you put out today, it was brilliant. Loved it.
Yeah, well, as I say, it took me almost a week on and off to write that. So then I realized why I don't write it every month. But I would like to write them every 3 months. That would be nice, rather than every 6 months. That's a little lazy, right? So there you go. So anyway, so That is where I'm at the moment in terms of just stuff. I'm just wrapping up a very busy year, right? And in terms of us and the planet, I'm a little out of the loop on the current affairs part because I've just been so busy, right? That will change in the next few days because I'm almost done. But on you know, the energetic front, we're kind of talking about the same stuff energetically every single time, mostly because these are very long shifts and long processes. So it's not that they change week to week, okay? They may change year to year, but they don't change necessarily week to week. And the kind of long-term process that we are in at the moment is the ongoing Pluto-Uranus square, which I talk about in the newsletter. And by the way, if you want this newsletter, you can go to my Facebook page. You can find it there. And if you can't find it that way, just send me an email and I'll send you a copy, okay? But basically, we are in this Pluto-Uranus square that is ongoing. It's been ongoing for a few years now, and it's going to continue until 2015. It's a big deal because this is a major cycle, and it's a very intense cycle. There's major cycles of other planets that don't cause as much disruption. Well, instead, the Pluto-Uranus square is can create a lot of really radical change at the social level, because Uranus is kind of like the sign of revolution, and Pluto is the sign of power in Capricorn, especially. The power takes on this kind of form of, you know, basically Pluto in Capricorn is the corporation, it is the military, it is the New World Order, it is all of those kinds of things, right? And Uranus in Aries is everything that goes against that. So we have this big showdown that has been going on for a while and that will continue between this old school energy that is represented by the powers that be in the New World Order, and that is intensifying because Pluto intensifies everything that it touches. So it's almost like we're getting to an extreme with that energy. And on the other side, we have the Uranus and Aries that wants to kind of break it all down, right? And so the two energies are kind of in a squaring each other off, and it's very volatile. It brings up a lot of tension, a lot of conflict, and it has the potential for being one big powder keg that goes off, right? Now, in the middle of that, however, we also have the accelerating energies that come from the galactic center. And these accelerating energies have also been around for quite a long time. And in fact, it's kind of interesting because the Pluto-Uranus square is a solar system cycle, right? But the last time that these two planets were together was between 1962 and 1969. That is when there was the whole civil rights movement and, you know, the 60s, the hippies, and a lot of change happened during that time. Some of that was co-opted change in the sense that initially it was a very spontaneous movement, but then it kind of got derailed into the whole flower power and, you know, take LSD and drop out and, you know, just smoke a lot of marijuana kind of thing, right? Which was not bad in itself. And it had, you know, a lot of creativity that came out of it. But what was actually derailed was the more political side of the Pluto-Uranus square that was the beginning of a true civil rights movement that was, you know, the anti-Vietnam and anti-war stance and all of those things. They kind of got diluted into this more hedonistic, escapist kind of movement towards the end of it, right? So at the moment, we have a repeat of that, and the repeat of that is, you know, several years later, we're going through the next meeting between these two planets, again, we have a very serious political urge to change things and to modify the status quo that has become even more dysfunctional than it was before. But one of the things that we have to be careful of is the ability that the powers that be have of actually taking these kind of energies and then kind of funneling them into dead end places, okay? But everything that we have seen from the Occupy movement, you know, even the Truth movement, whistleblowers and so on, is all part of this process. What we have to be careful of is that we continue to keep the integrity of the original energy rather than allowing it to go into something that is trendy but does not actually create real change in the long run. Okay? So, for example,
Russell Brand. Matt Damon. Oh, yes.
Yeah. It's like, there's a lot of stuff. That's right. So there's a lot of stuff out there that is seductive, okay? But not just Russell Brand. Even things like WikiLeaks and, do you know what I mean? Like the fake whistleblowers, the state-sponsored whistleblower, right? Let's call it that way, okay? Because there's a lot of stuff out there at the moment that is seductive and appealing, but it's not the real deal, and we have to be really careful about that. Now, the interesting thing about the timing of all this is that the solar galactic, the galactic pulse, that is the other energy that is coming in, that is much bigger energy, because the Pluto-Uranus square is basically, the Pluto-Uranus cycle is, I think, in the 300-year range maximum, okay? But the galactic cycle, as we know, is a much longer one, okay? And I'm talking thousands of years, right? So, but this energy that comes from a galactic center, it's almost as if it comes in like a Gauss curve. So it increases very, very slowly at the beginning, and then it starts to really step up, and then it steps up, and then it steps up all the way, right? And then eventually it will also start to decrease. And so then it will start to decrease, right? And at the moment, we're still, it's almost as if we have reached the top of the bell curve, okay? We're not exactly all the way yet, but we're pretty close. But the beginning of that bell curve kind of started around the 60s also, okay? So all of this is important, because these are energies that were seeded at some point, and now they're stepping up, so it's almost like we're doing 60s 2.0. But it's not as warm and cozy and cuddly as the 60s were. This phase is much more acrimonious, much more confrontational, and it's a little bit more less optional. In the 60s, it was almost as if it was kind of optional. It was a nice movement. There were interesting energies that were coming through, but there wasn't this life or death feel that there is right now. Now there's almost a sense that if we do not get on to this stuff, and if we do not make some serious changes, basically our world is going to be in a very dark place for a very long time. We're going to have some kind of world tyranny that will start to come in, do you know what I mean? And it's not fun. So basically now it's urgent, and before it wasn't. Okay. So we are at the peak of something that started quite a while back, and now it's really kind of kicking in. And the galactic energies, this galactic kind of pulse that comes in, this is an energy that has reached our planet before, and I believe that it was at the base of the changes that happened in Atlantis. And as we know, those changes didn't go so well. There was a little bit of a shakeroo that kind of gobbled up a few continents, right? So I don't think that is going to happen now, but it shows you the intensity of the energy, and it shows you the intensity of the change, right? And it seems that when this energy comes in, literally it reshapes the the map of the Earth, both physically and in consciousness. And I think we have talked about this before, but I'll go into it very briefly, just so that we don't bore people to death. But literally, it is almost as if we have a window that opens, and during that window, there is the possibility to make a leap in consciousness. Okay? And you can either make that leap or you don't. And the energy allows for an acceleration that creates an option to make a leap. But that doesn't mean that you make the leap. It's a potential. Okay? And this is a cyclical thing. It's like on a cyclical basis, there's an energy that allows for a change of pace that is quite big and radical. Now, it seems in general that what happens if we do not make this leap is that then there's a reboot. Okay? There's a reboot of the civilization, right? And at times this reboot looks like literally there's cataclysms and all the rest of it, and the Earth gets reformatted. But it can even just be a reboot of the civilization as far as energy and the energy of the civilization itself. Now, during the Atlantean thing, the reboot was Atlantis went bye-bye and Egypt emerged. All right? And Egypt emerged dark. Why? Because the initiation of, making the leap in consciousness towards the higher level didn't work. It didn't happen. Okay? And so the energy of the planet for a start went down. So it's actually not as easy to sustain the higher energy on the planet anymore. Even things like metaphysical skills were not as easy to maintain, okay? Because there was higher level metaphysical skills before the Atlantean fall. And so there was a reboot, and the reboot was goodbye Atlantis, hello Egypt. And Egypt was reborn with a very dark flavor, very dark flavor. Initially, there was a bit of both, but eventually the dark wiped out the light altogether. Okay? And then from there, there was the beginning of the next cycle. The next cycle that started about 13,000 years ago, and that is kind of closing out now. Right? And now meaning from, let's say, the 1950s to now, to today, the galactic pulse is active again, the initiation energy is present again, the accelerating energy is present again, we have an opportunity to transcend and make this leap again, right? And if we make it, great. And if we don't, who knows what happens. But one of the things that seems likely is that if we do not manage to make this leap, the energy on the planet will stay dark, it will stay it will remain in charge, the energy of the dark Egypt, right? And there will be another cycle that will be ruled by the dark Egypt energy. Now, the reason for which the powers that be, Illuminati, whatever you want to call them, are so intent on escalating dark energy at the moment is because they do not want this leap to occur, and they want to intensify the flavor of their own energy, and by doing that, then they stay in charge of the Earth realm for another, I don't know how many thousands of years. Okay? So it's a game that has a lot of perks for them, right? If they win, they get another cycle, all right? But the possibility is there for that not to occur. And also within this, the good thing is that And this was the same even during Atlantis. This is the same at all times. We have to make a distinction between collective evolution and personal evolution. Because collective evolution has to do with the planet, with the collective soul of humanity, with the history of humanity as a collective being, right? But personal evolution has to do with your own soul, with your own evolution, and what happens to you as a single unity of being. And some beings are not even from here. They're just here to help. They don't even belong to humanity in some ways, right? So our personal destiny and our collective destiny do not have to be one and the same. You can have a collective initiation that fails, but a personal initiation that actually occurs and thrives. Okay? So the two things are not necessarily linked up together. You can still manage to transcend all of your own stuff, and you can still manage to take your own soul to the next level, even if the collective is not necessarily on the same page with you. Okay? Now, the people that are initiates and old souls, they are not just doing this work for themselves, they're also doing it for the collective. So, as part of their mission, usually they have various pieces that say, I am going to contribute this, this, and that to the collective evolution to support the collective into also making a leap. Okay? But even so, if the collective fails, you can still make your own leap. Or just go home. That is another thing, okay?
It's the end of the cycle. So it's like we have the opportunity to drop through the grid as long as we're not trying to hold on to anything that'll stop us from dropping through into the next cycle.
Absolutely. And that, by the way, happens. It happens especially...
What's happened now? Have I lost the stream? Or I lost...
Am I still there?
Yeah, sorry, we lost you there, Katie. You said it happens. Can you start? Go back there.
Okay, so I was saying that it does happen sometimes that, you as a soul, you can come in. I mean, here I'm making the assumption that everybody understands that the Earth plane is a reality that exists in a certain dimension, in a certain time-space zone, right? But that there are other dimensions, there are other places. There are other places in the galaxy, there are other places in the universe, but there are also other places dimensionally. And that this is a planet that has several different kinds of consciousnesses on it at the same time. It has the collective consciousness of humanity, right? That's one soup that's on the planet, okay? Then, so you could say that's one collective consciousness on the planet. Then there is the a collective consciousness of dark that we have not quite fully identified because they like to stay hidden, right? So we're not 100% sure about exactly who they are. We've got ideas about it. We have ideas that it's a consciousness that comes from the Orion system, okay? We have ideas about the fact that this is a consciousness that is also influenced by extra-dimensional consciousness that is spiritual dark, that doesn't have bodies at all, that we would call demonic beings, okay? And that this group, and that there's also a faction of humanity that is kind of genetically modified so that they can host these particular beings from Orion and the dark energies that work through them. Okay? So that is almost like a subsection of humanity that has been genetically modified so that it can work with the dark Orions. Okay? And that's another collective consciousness that's on the planet. Okay? And then we have a group of souls that are of various origin. There's different kinds of them, but generally they work as a group, whose souls come from higher dimensions. Some of them come from higher dimensional places in this galaxy or universe, right? And that are almost like a kind of special forces and special education unit that gets that is assigned, that has been assigned to Earth at this time to help humanity to overcome the oppression that it has been experiencing for many, many cycles now from the Dark Orion and Dark Energy Collective, okay? And the reason for which this particular group of souls has actually come in is because the Dark Orions have been a little bit too successful in taking over all of our cycles, okay? And so humanity now is not really capable by itself to make the leap because they have been so deprived of information, tools, and energy for such a long time that they really don't have a clue that anything is even happening at all unless they are helped a little bit to see that. So the reason for which this quote-unquote special forces group is coming in to help, right, is just to rebalance things so that there's some light to rebalance this dark, and so that the humanity can make its choices and can use its free will without being manipulated into choosing dark at all times, right? However, the Earth is a bit of a tricky realm to hang in because of the level of density that there has been here on this plane, and because of the level of manipulation and mind control and programming that has occurred on this planet from the Dark Orions, right, for many, many thousands of years. And because there is some kind of a rule that says that when you come into this realm, you kind of forget who you were before, at least for a little while, right? It is sometimes possible for these souls that come in here to help to kind of get stuck, okay? Because they come in to help and then they forget who they are, and then before you know it, they're like, you know, bumbling along and buying into all of the dark programs and getting all programmed themselves, and then they get stuck and they start accumulating karma and they can't get out. Okay. There's actually a really good booklet that is, I'm laughing because I'm thinking about this booklet, that is called ET 101, that is actually really funny, in which the author talks about this in a very tongue-in-cheek kind of way, basically talking about mission control is like sending you down another manual because most of you have forgotten that you're even on a mission, so let's try to help you to remember, right, who you are and why you're here. Okay. So it is,
yeah,
important.
I remember that book. My ex-wife gave me a copy.
You remember, it's kind of funny, right? It's a cute little booklet. You can even find it online. I think you can find it, pieces of it at least, you can find online to read. It's kind of cute. And by the way, the woman that wrote that booklet actually had a lot of... it's a really humorous booklet, but there's a lot of truth in it, right? And the woman that wrote it, the powers that be gave her a very, very hard time after she wrote that book. And you wouldn't think that that book would be something that would attract that much attention. But apparently it did, and she had a really, really hard time for a few years after she wrote that, because many very bad things happened to her after she wrote them that were kind of coming from, you know, the powers that be, directed against her, legal stuff, all sorts of things, right? So, ET 101, you can go find it on Amazon.
I'm just going to post a link to it in the in the chat room.
Okay.
I just googled it. Carry on.
And the other thing that you may want to put into the chat room is the raw material, right? And the website for that is LL Research. Okay? If you put it into Google, you should be able to find it. LL Research Raw Material. Because in the raw material that was channeled between 1980 and 1984, and by the way, a lot of the channelings that happened in the 80s were actually really powerful, and kind of the real deal, and I think it was before, now most of the channeling that is out there is like rubbish. I'm sorry to say. I mean, some of it is feel good kind of stuff and so on, but most of it is rubbish. Right? But in the 80s there was some stuff that came out that was really meaty and not rubbish. And the raw material is in the meaty, non-rubbish category. And in fact, the process, the raw material talks about the group of souls, and it calls them the wanderers, right? Because they're wandering souls from, usually from sixth density. That is how, the raw material talks about densities instead of dimensions. And there's only eight densities. And apparently we here are third density trying to become fourth density, and the group of souls that has come in to help is from sixth density. And translated into JP language, I think it's 1-2 souls, right? Ray 1 with two
the
souls.
The Ray 1 monad group, yeah.
The Ray 1 monad group, yeah. with the number 2 soul group, right?
Well, number 2, there's I've come across 1-2s, 1-4s, yep. And 1-7s.
Okay.
The 1-4s are people like super soldiers.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Interesting. So that would be the guys that I call the Galactics, right? Because in my... Let's swap views, because I like exchanging views with you, because our stuff is similar but different, but similar, right? And in my cosmology, there's the souls that come from what I call the angelic realm, right? And these are the souls that when I look at them, when I'm doing a reading or a session or healing work or whatever, you go and have a look at their soul, and their soul is all about love. They're very high in consciousness. They sometimes get shafted a little bit here on the earth plane because they are a little too kind, right? They don't have enough claws, right, for being here. But they usually have really high consciousness. They understand metaphysical concepts very well. They understand consciousness, they understand energy, and some of them have a lot of knowledge, and some of them even have a lot of power, right? But it's very high dimensional, very pure, and very much about love. And then there's another group that is still higher dimensional than Earth, but not as high as the angelic group. And these guys, if you go and have a look at them, most of them belong to some kind of galactic warrior type council, right? And literally, they're like soldiers. They feel like soldiers, and they're literally here to fight, right? But sacred defenders, not bad fight. It's like sacred defenders of holy ground, right? But they are usually much tougher. They have a tougher emotional body, and they're kind of here to get a job done and really focused, and a lot of the truther people often are in that category as well, right? And then there's a group of souls that are kind of like in between, not in between those two, but in between Earth and the light and the dark. It's they. I call these guys the dwellers of the threshold, right? because they're not on either side. They're not fully light. They're not fully dark, right? But they're supposed to make a choice in this lifetime, and they, it depends on where they want to go. Okay. And I think you put the race 6 into this category. Is that correct?
It's definitely the it's a point in the process, the dweller on the threshold. Yeah, it's you know, it's the dark night of the soul, and some people have choose to have that over several lifetimes. You know,
that's true. That's very true.
You know, it's a and again, it's what you're saying is about not making the choice.
Yeah,
and because of attachments. And we don't realize we're attached until we try to move through the sieve and we realize there's a whole bunch of stuff tied to us behind us.
That's true. And also, there is that, the attachment aspect, okay? But, and this, what I'm about to say, I never would have said it 2 years ago, right? But now I'm saying it. That I really do think that there's literally dark forces, light forces, and there is a choice between self and spirit that is not just about... There's the part about letting go of attachments. A lot of the earth souls, I think, are in that zone, okay? Like the normal humans, they have to evolve beyond and out of certain things. But there's also some powerful souls that are powerful, and they have been on the planet for a very long time. And even these souls, some of them come from other places. And they have strong metaphysical skill and all the rest of it, but they're not fully in the light, and they're not fully in the dark. And literally, in this lifetime, they have to decide who you're going to play for. Who are you going to play for? You're going to play for the dark, or you're going to play for the light? And sometimes these people are actually not even aware that this is the choice that they're being called to make. And this particular choice comes often in the form of some kind of testing, right? So they will be tested. There will be opportunities that will be put in front of them that in the past seduced them, right, in past lives. And they will be given those opportunities again. And when they are presented with these opportunities, then they have a chance to choose again, and they can choose this time to go towards the light with it, or they can choose to go towards the dark. And light and dark, we can rephrase that as ego. We can put the dark under ego, self-serving type stuff, and we can put the light as expansion, growth, collective good, beyond just personal good and so on, right? So there's a lot going on this planet. It's like a big crucible of stuff, right? We have so many different processes that are happening on this planet at the same time, and different groups of souls that are here to learn different things. And then we have a planetary process that has its own flavor still. And all of this is happening in the middle of a big galactic cycle as well, and so on. And another one of the reasons which there's a big focus on Earth, and we've talked about this one before also at the moment, is because whatever happens here on this planet at this time is influential to the history of this galaxy as a whole. That is, if we mess it up, in future cycles of this galaxy, we're going to have a big, gigantic, holy mess. And the big, gigantic, holy mess is called... it's basically... this energy is going to spread, right? And we're going to have... the Dark Orion flavor is not just going to be on Earth, but it's going to spread to other places. And one of the things that keeps coming up on my radar, and that I also have read about in various places, is the transhumanist part. Okay, so transhumanism is not just something to be aware of, but it's something to be very aware of, because transhumanism is the part that gets exported. If we don't stop it, it gets exported throughout the galaxy and creates a big problem. And by transhumanism, I mean the merging between man and machine. And if you look at what is happening in the world right now, you can actually see it already, that it's there. And it's there already with the focus, there's this focus that has been placed on technology. And technology is great, but technology is great if we understand exactly what's happening with it and how to use it in ways that do not backfire. And the step now that is powers that be driven is that of integrating technology with the organic with organic life. And one aspect of that is the whole GMOs, DNA modification, genetic tampering, right? That's one aspect. Then another aspect, I believe, is the whole Morgellons phenomena, right? Which is linked to the chemtrails, which is linked to inserting inorganic fibers inside of organic beings and basically almost forcing an evolution of the species in a predetermined direction, which at the moment we have no idea why it's even, like, what are they doing? We don't know exactly. We know they're doing it, but we don't know what they're doing and how they're doing it and what's exactly...
Yeah, like laying the groundwork.
They're doing something. You know, if you look at the work of, I think it's Sophia Smallstorm, who I've actually met. I went to dinner with her once, and interesting lady. And she has a video on YouTube about the chemtrails and Morgellons and the organic fibers and so on. And apparently anybody, even myself or you or whatever, that spits into a glass of red wine, if it's then analyzed, you can see these fibers and so on that pop out. And they're inorganic fibers, and we're breathing them in. They're becoming part of the food chain and so on. And it seems that these organic fibers have a... almost like a little mind of their own, and they organize themselves and put, they string themselves together when they're actually inside of the body, right? And I can testify that I did every time I start taking iodine, and I'm taking iodine because I have some hormonal thyroid-y type issues, right? So I'm trying to get my thyroid to kind of kickstart a little bit. And every time I start taking iodine, after 3 or 4 days, maybe a week, I start to expel very strange stuff from my skin. Right? And literally, it's like plastic and very strange stuff that starts coming out of the skin. And it kind of freaks me out, so I end up backing off of the iodine. And then, you know, a couple of weeks later, I start over with it again. And again, after about a week, the strange plastic stuff starts coming out of the skin, right? And I did some research on it, and apparently that's quite common with iodine, and it's also one of the reasons which people with Morgellons use iodine, because it helps the body to expel some of this stuff, right? And my understanding with Morgellons is that people that have Morgellons, in a way, have better immune systems, because their immune systems are expelling the stuff from the body. But actually, we all have some of those fibers inside of us, because they are literally in the air that we breathe, in the water that we drink, right? And so on, right? So that's one aspect of the transhumanism, is that aside from the genetic modification and the DNA modification of the food chain and even of human beings, there seems to be this project that we don't really understand, and who knows what it is that the end game of this is, but where inorganic matter is being inserted into human beings, maybe forcing almost like a slight shift in the way that our species is evolving, right? And then there's the more overt transhumanism that is literally the machine-human interface, right? Where, for example, even the cell phones that are like the Bluetooth stuff that you stick in your ear, that's the beginning of that process. You start to wear the technology, and then now they're convincing people to have that technology actually put inside of their bodies. And there are various things that show that. For example, they're telling people, oh, if you have Alzheimer's, we can put a chip inside your brain, and that chip can hold all of your memories. And isn't that cool? And if you actually start doing that before you get Alzheimer's, then you can make sure that even if you do get Alzheimer's, then you'll still have all of your memories implanted in your brain, right? They were also introducing the chip that way by saying, then you can have all of your medical information and all of your financial information always inside you, so nothing gets lost. And if you get knocked over by a truck, then they can just scan you and they'll know exactly what it is that, who you are and what you need and what kind of medications you're on and all that kind of stuff, right? So they always present it to you as if it's some cool thing that is really good and really useful, right? But actually, it's not very good for humans to be spliced with machines. And I've had a few clients where I've done, type regression type work, and then found out that they were actually from the future. It sounds really weird. But they remember being in this zone where they had parts of their body that were machine-like, and how much that was horrible, because basically there's no independence once you're actually part of the machine. Okay? Because the machine goes two ways. If you have something technological inserted into you, it can serve a function for you, but then it can be hacked and the signals can go both ways, right? So not a good thing.
No.
And yeah. And the prelude to humanity, basically the goal there is to make the collective consciousness of humanity, the collective soul of humanity, into a true Borg-like collective. That is what they want. They want it networked. They want it networked, and they want to be able to tap into it. They want to be able to pilot it. They want to be able to influence it. And once they get to that stage, it is not going to be possible to have any kind of freedom whatsoever. Now, I'm not saying that that is going to happen, but what I'm saying is that on some timeline, before the intervention of the large group of souls that came in to help, that was one of our possible futures, right? And from what I understand, even the Andromedans, I think you were mentioning this the last time, right?
Yeah, this is something that Alex Colley has spoken about, that
that's right.
From 400 years in the future, tyranny has spread throughout the galaxy and is almost ready to spread through other galaxies. So they decided to create a fleet to deal with the problem, and it turns out to be this moment right now.
That's
so
right.
Here we are. We need to be able to make those choices that cause us to go onto the line of what I'm calling the organic transhuman, the natural evolution of humanity.
Absolutely. Well, it's a choice, right? Like, it's a choice. We have a choice. Everything that's happening in our personal lives, in our collective lives, in our earth existence and galactic existence is all about choices right now. Okay? What are you going to choose? What are you going to choose? And right now, we are in... The reason for which it's all about choice is, for a start, this is a free will zone. And souls incarnate here to learn. And they have free will when they do so. Having free will means you can choose whatever you want. The free will, in that way, becomes an evolutionary tool, because depending on how you choose, you evolve one way or you evolve another way, right? You can devolve through free will, through bad use of free will, you can evolve. Now, on a personal level, if you mess it up, what happens? You just do it again. Come back again, do it over, okay? And by the way, right now, there's a whole thing out there from various conspiracy people saying that there's no such thing as reincarnation. Don't believe it. Okay? That's dark side information. If you hear some information out there that tells you there's no such thing as reincarnation, that's not true. Okay? We are physical beings. But we're also spiritual beings, and the reincarnation is one of the ways that some souls, not every soul, but some souls choose as a tool for evolution, okay, where they incarnate during various lifetimes to perfect certain experiences and certain learning, and as a way to actually evolve their own soul. And when I talk about soul, I'm not talking about goody-goody, nice feeling inside, and, you know, I'm talking literally about the energetic structure, the energetic being that we are beyond physicality, that lives on the soul plane, and that every single one of us has, and that is eternal, and who projects its essence, if it wants to, into a physical body in order to have experiences. Okay? And it has those experiences in the same way that we may choose to go to the gym to see if we can build some muscle. The soul will project into incarnation in order to have some experiences that will develop or attempt to develop its own spiritual strength, its own ability to love, its own spiritual knowledge, and so on, right? However, what happens is that a lot of souls, when they come into the body, they forget all about that. And then they get very absorbed into the physicality. And then sometimes they make choices that are not what they were originally trying to do. Okay? And then they end up staying in the incarnational cycles for a very long time if they do that. And by the way, at the beginning of the incarnational process, of the reincarnational process, that is kind of normal, and in some ways that is what being a young soul is all about, because you come and you, at the beginning you mess up, and then after a while you master how to hold your spiritual consciousness in a body, okay? And there's no judgment about any of this stuff, by the way. It's just experience. However, when it comes to collective experience, right, when we're not just talking about you yourself as a soul, when we start to talk about the collective, then there's that is almost like an entity in itself that has other cycles and other histories and so on. And right now, at a collective level, we are at a point where the collective experience is at a crossroad. And as a collective of beings, we can go one way or we can go another way. We can go towards love, freedom, or we can stay stuck in another cycle of dark Orion energy, right? However, we have a fairly interesting opponent in this, because the dark Orion energy is very good at keeping everybody stuck here, right? Like, that's what they do best. They're very good at creating fake choices, right? And in fact, one of the first books I started reading about the whole light dark thing when I was really young, and obviously it was part of my mission, but I remember at the time I was like 16 and I was reading things like the psychoanalysis of contemporary societies and anatomy of human destructiveness and all of that kind of stuff, right, and about the Nazis and why the Nazis would choose stuff like that. And I remember my mum going, isn't there any, like, romance thing that you can read? But I was very into all of that, because I was trying to understand something, I think. And why did I bring that up? There was a reason. I've lost my train of thought. But yeah, it's about, you know, choices and the choices that humanity makes, and and the fact that the Dark Orions have been very good at keeping things this way. And one of the reasons which, you know, Satan is called Satan, and I'm using the word Satan loosely, okay? Loosely as chief of dark energy, right? Has been described as the father of the lies, right? And the reason is, it lies. It gives you fake choices. And, there was a book that I read by, Scott Peck, when I was a teenager, that was about that. It was about the psychology of evil, right? And it was about the fact that one of the ways through which you recognize the dark forces, or whatever the dark polarity, or what he would have called evil because he was a Christian, is by the fact that it's dishonest, it lies, and it's deceptive, and gives you fake choices, right? So, New World Order, powers that be, they give you fake choices, right? They give you choices that take you away from where it is that you want to go. And if you look at that...
Katie?
Yes?
Sorry, I know, we're at the top of the hour. Do you want to take a break in a minute?
Oh, absolutely, yep.
So, shall we come back with fake choices?
Okay, so I'll write fake choices.
Yeah. And,
the lies.
Yes. So, this is going to be Peter Green. The big change is going to come.
Yay.
Peter Green there. Fleetwood Mac's Peter Green, where the big change is going to come, and we're looking at a big change that we're going through. It's not going to come, it's here. It's happening. It's happening this week. So, we stuck a pin in the thing. What was that about?
You crack me up sometimes, do you think? in the most loving, lovable way. Okay, so what did we stick a pin in that we see?
Well, we're talking about the Orion universe expanding,
right.
and you know, how we're going to deal with that.
That's right. Fake choices and...
Choices, okay. That's right. That's what we want to say, is the fake choice. And really, we need to just expand. I'd like to say something is that we're given choices that appear to be choices, but are not really choices. It's like left wing, right wing. There's still two wings of the vulture that's going to eat you.
Yep.
And it's all about death. It's all about death industry. But
Absolutely.
Anyway, fake choices. There are always
Absolutely.
More than one choice. You know, there's always more than two choices. I'd say there's at least seven.
And that goes back even... there's two things to say about the choices, right? On one level, there's the mind control and manipulation that gives you... It's almost like, would you like to go through door number one, door number two, or door number three? And every single door leads to the same place, right? That is the powers that be. They love doing that. It's like, okay, we give you this illusion that you can choose a whole bunch of stuff, but actually every single one of those things is going to exactly the same, to the same energy in the same direction and so on. But then there's a more subtle metaphysical set of choices, and I'm focused on this at the moment because I'm seeing this in a few people and situations that I'm aware of right now, right? So I'm very aware of this next piece that I'm going to say, that is that it's the fake choices of the testing that is actually more personal and more spiritually based, where people that carry a lot of voltage and a lot of power and a lot of light are almost being tempted, they're being disrupted by the dark forces, and I can put my hand up as somebody that is being disrupted by the dark forces. The dark forces are always trying to interfere in some one way or another. Right, even just technologically, they try to mess with you and all that kind of stuff, right? But then there are also temptations that are put in front of people so that people will choose avenues in which their light becomes self-serving, right? And, for example, it can come in the form of success. It can come in the form of perks. It can come in the form of ego gratification. It can come into all of those kind of packages, right? And traditionally, if you look at, you know, the old school way in which the dark forces were represented, the dark forces were always about seduction, about taking you into the lower moral code and appealing to your drives. If you go and watch the movie, what was the name of that movie? With Al Pacino.
I'm not sure. But you're talking about the lower three chakras there.
Devil's Advocate.
Devil's Advocate, right.
Do you remember that movie?
Never saw it.
In which Al Pacino is a big-ass lawyer, and Keanu Reeves starts working for him as a, you know, up-and-coming smart guy. And then gradually, step by step, Al Pacino seduces him away from his wife, from his family, from everything that was good and true, right? And in exchange for power and success. And then towards the end, because the movie is metaphysical in many ways, towards the end, he actually reveals himself as Lucifer. And as Keanu Reeves' life has gone down the toilet completely, he says, "But you chose all of it. I never made any of these choices for you. I offered you choices. You made all the choices on your own, right? You can't blame me for trashing your life. You can't blame me for the fact that your wife has gone crazy and now is wanting to commit suicide. You can't blame me for the fact that you lost all of your friends, that you betrayed everybody in your life to have this success. All that I did was offer you choices. And you took every single one of these choices and you made it on your own." That movie, it's worth watching because that is actually Luciferian philosophy straight there. Okay? Luciferians don't make choices for humanity. They always tell people what they're doing. They always tell people what they're doing. And then nobody does anything to counteract it. And the dark force prevails. Right?
Because they always think that they're just joking.
That's right. Like, they don't take it seriously, right? And the thing is that there's big choices and small choices. There's the choices that we make as humanity that are big ones, but then there's the little ones that we make into our lives. And the same way that every light choice and every light contribution contributes to the whole and contributes to the world being light, in the same way, every dark choice that is made, however small, contributes towards the world being dark. It is a collective, almost like a big soup, and depending on what you put into it, the overall energy will be one way or it will be another. This is one of the reasons for which the New World Order spends a lot of money and a lot of time making really dark movies, really dark music videos, really dark entertainment, and flooding people with pornography, you know, and all of those kind of things, because each one of those small choices matters. It matters because the overall will of the collective, free will of the collective, is made of the free will of every individual that is on the planet. Okay? And so what you choose matters. Even in the small things, what you choose matters. There's a book out there that is called The Only Planet of Choice, and it says the Earth is the planet of choice. What we choose determines the direction not only of our own soul, but it also determines the direction of the planetary energy as a whole. Now, the Luciferian energy works with this principle very clearly. One of the things that is becoming apparent to me is the dark forces and the Luciferian forces, they actually understand metaphysical principles very, very well. They use them very precisely and they understand them very precisely, but they use them to their own ends and to their own means. Okay? But they understand metaphysical law, they understand spiritual law, they just apply it in a way that serves them. Okay? So all of this stuff about free will and about the nature of choices and about the nature of individual and collective will, the Luciferian energy, and, you know, who is behind the scenes understands it perfectly. And what they do continuously is to try to manipulate individuals and the collective into making choices that are low, self-serving, and dark-orientated. Right?
Oh, Katie, have I lost you? Oh, yeah, we got a problem with the call. There we go. Oh, there you go. You're back again.
We're back.
Yeah, you get these little break-offs. I've got the kettle boiling in the background on the stove.
That's okay.
How
That's
very okay. romantic. Okay, meanwhile, back with the dark side.
All right, and we were going to do something light today, but I guess we're back here into the dark side. Which is fine.
Can't seem to get away from it, eh?
I know. So obviously it's what needs to come out, because that was not what I was planning about talking about, right? So anyway, so right now in particular, there's a because we are at this node point, very important in our individual lives and in our collective lives, how we choose what energy we contribute to the whole, what direction we take into our lives, okay? Now, on the positive side, so let's go to the positive side, and the opposite is also true. Like, whatever choices that we make for the light also contribute to the light. And also, if we are metaphysically and energetically aware, which people are becoming more and more as time progresses, then we also understand that just like the dark forces use dark magic to get stuff done, and they've got their own magic and symbols and so on, we can use light magic, we can use light energy work, we can use energetic techniques and tools that can, within spiritual law, influence consciousness, okay? So there's a lot of stuff that we can use also to create positive shifts and to modify timelines, okay? And actually, it's not that hard. All that you need is a little bit of awareness of energy and how it works, okay? Now, we can never make choices for others. We just can't. That's not how it works. Every person is in charge of their own reality, and even when you try to influence people positively, you can be in violation of free will if you're stepping over their will, okay? Because it, what you think is positive is not necessarily what the other person thinks is positive. And so we have limitations as to how far we can go with influencing other people's will. In general, influencing other people's will, not such a great idea. Okay, like you can explain something to somebody, you can talk, you know, give them information about something if they want it, but then the choice is always theirs. And when we try to sway other people's will towards our own agenda, even if it's a good agenda, we are in dodgy territory, right? Like, for example, I could be trying to make somebody you know, do something, or even make somebody love you. Do you know what I mean? Trying really hard to make somebody love you, and the other person doesn't want to love you for whatever reason. We're in dodgy territory if we push that, okay? Even if love is a good thing, it's still their choice what they do with their lives and how they use their energy and so on. right?
Totally.
Yeah. And so yeah, so there you go. So in some ways, this is the last piece I'm going to say about the dark piece. In some ways, if you look at it metaphysically, again, you know, go to the bigger picture. If you go to the bigger picture, you can see that even if the dark side of the force is obviously not very pleasant, and we're not super fond of it, and on this planet it's been around for way too long, do you know what I mean, and so on. But you can see it serves a function, right? And the function that it serves is it gives you the opportunity to choose. It gives you the opportunity to test your own ability to choose right. Okay? Because if there were not the option of choosing wrong, right, then you cannot choose right either. So one of the functions that the dark, the initiatory function that the dark side of the force serves is the one of testing your own ability to align with light, to be committed to your choices, to have clear consciousness and use your free will correctly, right? So it serves in its own strange way. It serves a function. It's there for a reason, and it serves a function, right? So the trick here is to choose right. And another thing that I'm getting right now, this is my guides butting in, they're saying something, that it's also about another one of the lessons that is going on right now is about not just integrity, because basically what we have been talking about, some of it is integrity, but it's also about courage and standing up for what you really believe in and standing in your own power, right? Because at the moment, there's a lot of people that are very aware of what needs to happen and very aware, you know, of the dilemmas that are in front of us, but they will still not back down if it comes to an integrity issue in their own lives or an integrity issue in their own job or whatever. So there is also a lesson here in, okay, we have to do the right thing, and therefore you have to be brave and you have to stay in your own integrity and you have to be strong and you have to stay in your own power and move through that. Okay? So that's another lesson. It's about strength. Not just knowing something, but acting on it and sticking with it, right?
Right. So it's being able to follow it through from the thought all the way to the manifestation, which is
absolutely,
that's where, you know, that's where we're all at. And we're in a phase of change. You know, I just want to, you know, go back to this to the Alex Collier thing, because the other thing that Alex Collier was saying was that this week on the 3rd we would be leaving 3D behind,
right? Yeah.
Now
what do you think?
I think actually something has happened. I don't know about you, but for certainly for me and some other people, I've not felt hungry.
Yeah.
And we were talking about this before, and I was thinking, what if this doesn't go away? What if I just never feel hungry again? And then I don't have to worry about food storage, because I'm just running on my own inner light.
Yep, absolutely. Well, you and I were talking about that. I had a day a couple of days ago, apart from the fact that I have had very little money lately, so some of the not eating is kind of not a choice, but it's been interesting to play around with that experience anyway, right? That is, I went through a whole day. I was very busy. I had a lot to do. But I went through a whole day in which I got to 8 o'clock at night and I was like, I didn't eat today. I didn't eat and I didn't drink at all. Nothing. And I thought, am I hungry? No. And then I thought about it a little more, and then the more I thought about it, the more I started getting hungry. But if I hadn't actually thought about it, I probably wouldn't have been hungry.
Exactly. Right? Exactly. So it's beginning to be, the reality is, as Nancy Hopkins has been saying, reality is what you think it is.
It is.
And it's getting a little more like a kind of rubberized projection of our minds. That's
absolutely
going to be interesting.
Well, and that then taps into, you know, we've talked a few times about the fact that things like The Secret, that they're kind of like not really the real deal. But what is not the real deal about things like The Secret is not necessarily the whole idea of manifestation and everything is energy and you can create this and that, but it's more the oversimplification of everything so that it makes it all, you know, very linear, and the reality of the soul is actually not included in those kinds of teachings. And so it basically, the whole of the spiritual path becomes about manifestation, which it isn't. Manifesting is a law of creation, and we as beings that are in a planet that has a slightly more dense energy need to learn how to use manifestation energies, because it's part of what we have forgotten about, right? But the path and the reason for which we're here on the planet is not to manifest things. We're not here to learn about manifesting. We're here about evolving our soul. We're here to help this planet evolve, okay? So the manifesting thing, it's not that it's wrong, and it's not that it doesn't serve us to manifest, but what the problem is that a lot of these teachings have made manifestation into the reason for which we're actually here on the planet in the first place, which is here to manifest things and learn how to manifest and create stuff, which is not true. Okay?
No, it's more of a byproduct rather than...
Absolutely. But it still is useful and interesting to learn about manifestation. In fact, I have 240 pages of a book that I was writing about manifestation. But if I were to actually sit down and spend a month on it, I could probably finish it. But because the laws of manifestation are actually pretty clear in some ways. However, so if you understand energy, then you can create a lot of stuff with energy. You can even look at things as energy. You can, and by look at things as energy, I mean, you can go into meditation and say, okay, I'm having this problem and I don't really know quite how to resolve it. So you can ask to be shown on your screen the energy of that problem. Okay. Instead of thinking about the problem, just bring up the energy of the issue by itself and then work with it as energy, make it smoother, start taking some dark energy off of it. Roll it out and make it nice and smooth as if you were rolling out pasta dough on a table. Add some light to it so it becomes a bit more fluffy. And half of the time, you will find that within a couple of days, that issue shifts, okay? Because the energy of the issue has been smoothed out. That is actually what is at the base of energy clearing as a healing technique. You move the energy, things change. You move the energy, things shift. Okay? You can do that with manifestation as well. You need something, you work with the energy of that too. Okay? Now, the only times in which manifestation does not work properly, when A, you have some belief systems that are in the way, but sometimes your soul can block you from manifesting what it is that you need, because there is an experience that you're supposed to go through, and if you were to actually manifest what you need, that experience would not occur. Okay? So, okay, you will have sometimes where, like, the soul consciousness overrides your manifestation. For example, let's say that if you won the lottery and you were super rich, you would lose all your motivation to work, and then you wouldn't do your soul mission, right? Then your soul may choose to not allow you to have humongous sums of money coming into your life, because if you did, then your motivation to do various things would not happen. And I'm kind of familiar with this because I've had times in my life in which the universe seems to have pulled the plug on me financially, right? And during those times, I spin my wheels like a crazy person to put together new things. And in 2009, I had a stage where that happened. And during that time, because I was freaking out about money, I actually put together my blog that is now the Cosmic Perspectives blog that I've been writing on since, but I created it at that time. I joined Facebook, that has become a big part of what I do. I created my YouTube channel, and I started making jewelry, and I started making recordings of various meditations and so on. So it was almost as if that forced me to go into some kind of hyperdrive on the creation front that otherwise I probably wouldn't have been motivated to do, all of which was very important, okay? Not important to the world, but important to me and my path and what I was supposed to do. So the soul can override, you know, your manifestation efforts. And if you find that sometimes you're trying to manifest something and it doesn't happen, and you know that you've put forward the right energy and you know that you've put forward the right intentions and so on, you may want to take a look and see, okay, so what is my soul trying to accomplish right now? Is there a lesson I'm supposed to learn? You know, is there something that this is forcing me to do? Because if you can figure out what it is, you can just get on with it, do it, and the stage gets, you can move through it much faster, okay? So we got sidetracked on the manifesting thing. Yeah, because you were talking about Alex Collier and the going into the next dimension on the third, right? Yeah.
Oh yes, going into the fourth dimension. Now, here's the thing, is that, you know, in the last week, now he said, his thing was, it was slated for the 3rd of December 2013 that 3D would collapse, implode on itself. Right. Now, here's the thing.
Now, when did he say this, by the way?
He said it in 1994.
Okay.
You know, so it was a long time, and he was consistent with the date.
Right. Now, my belief system at the moment is that we have been... it's almost like we've been given an extension. I think that we are shifting, right? My assessment, state of the planet, is we are shifting, but I think that we have shifted enough that there's a shift, but we have not shifted enough that it's done. Okay? But we haven't shifted as little that it's over, and it feels that we have been given some extra time. Okay, like an extension. Barbara Marciniak, that is the channel for the Pleiadians, right? There's the one woman that wrote Bringers of the Dawn, and who, by the way, also says that there's this tyranny in the future.
Oh, yeah. Who also says that there's tyranny in the future. That's right. That's right. We'll get Casey back in a second. Doo-be-doo-be-doo. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, at tyranny in the future. She said, Marciniak also said that there was tyranny in the future.
Yeah, she also said that. And what she also said was that the Pleiadians had come back to the nanosecond. And they defined the nanosecond as 1987 to 2012, right? Because they had gone back in time to look at where things had gotten all funky, and they had identified that the things had gotten all funky between 1987 and 2012, and if they could come back and influence that nanosecond and give people information so that they could shift energetically, that then... they could avoid this tyranny of the machines in the future, right? And I actually have a friend who was or is a friend of somebody that was Barbara Massiniak's assistant, and they're still in touch. And so every now and then I get kind of backdoor Barbara Massiniak info through this communal friend, okay? And apparently the Pleiadians, I mean, if this is true, obviously it's second-hand information, so I don't know if it's true or not, but the second-hand information goes that Barbara Massiniak has been told by her Pleiadians that she has to continue to work for another 25 years and that she cannot stop doing her work and her writing and all the rest of it because it's going to take another 25 years to shift everything, right? And this, she was told this last year. And Barbara Massiniak apparently, again, if this information is true, was not super happy about it because she's worked very hard, right?
It's been a long time already.
That's right. Which I can relate because I started my work 17 years ago, so I can relate to the, you know, mission fatigue, right? It's almost like being told that you have to do another tour in Iraq. So, yeah. So my sense is, I don't know, my sense is the shift is happening, but it's not complete. We haven't landed all the way yet. And it's almost as if we are slightly, the dark forces have been stopped so that they're not going forward. Like, let's say that the big group of souls had not come here to help, right? Let's say nobody sent anybody. We would have just trundled along nicely into the next cycle of dark, and then that would have spread to the galaxy and big problems everywhere, right? But large group of souls came in to help with the acceleration from the galactic pulse, to help people work through the mind control of the Dark Orions and the New World Order. And now we're at a point where enough work has been done that we have averted that timeline, but somehow the New World Order people have done enough work themselves that we're not in the clear yet, and so there's more work to do, and it's as if we are in almost in balance right now with the dark forces and the light forces are almost in balance. They're keeping each other in balance. Light does one thing, dark does another one. Then the light does something else, and then the dark does another one. So in the game, because it's a game to some degree, we're kind of, what do they call it in chess when nothing moves anymore on the
stalemate?
Stalemate, there you go. So we're kind of on the stalemate right now. However, it's a good stalemate in the sense that we're not stuck in the dark zone. We're stuck in a light zone that is, however, not as light as it needs to be to boot the dark influence out of this zone altogether, right? But the dark forces are not advancing either. So everything is staying kind of the same, right? So there has been progress, but we're just not done. We need to work a little longer and a little bit more to get things to shift all the way. However, within this shift, definitely, there are some things like instant manifestation that are starting to happen. Sometimes I can literally have a thought about something and it happens, right? Like within an hour, right? And in the past, it didn't happen that way. And also instant karma, you know how people were talking about instant karma a while back? It's actually kind of true. Stuff comes back at you very fast as well. Both the good stuff and the bad stuff, it comes back at you very fast. That is another reason which we have to be really good and in integrity, because do you remember that cartoon with the comic strip cartoon type thing where there's the guy in the middle and he's got all the dominoes around him and he clicks on one of the dominoes and they go around and the last domino smacks him on the head and then it says, karma is a bitch?
No, yeah.
So the speed of the dominoes is accelerating, right? So if you push the dominoes in the wrong direction, they smack you on the head much faster these days.
They're in the atmosphere of helium, where dominoes move faster.
Dominoes are on crack right now. Dominoes.
on steroids and crack, and so what do we do about this? What we need to do is you know, we need to defeat tyranny in our own being, our own bodies. We need to find the inner tyranny, the inner Nazi, the inner New World Order. Those of us that part of us actually kind of agrees with the corporation and thinks it's a damn fine idea.
Well, absolutely, and in fact, that is part of what I wrote in the newsletter this time. You know, you need to work your stuff. There's two parts to all of this. There's the inner, and then there's the outer. There's the personal, and then there's the collective. On the personal level, find your inner Nazi and reform it. Reform your inner Nazi so that your inner Nazi becomes good. Okay, we all have an inner Nazi somewhere. Work on that and reform it. Okay. If you are easily seduced by something, whatever you're seduced by, figure it out and try to strengthen against that. Okay? So if you're seduced by power, try to strengthen so that you understand that external power and recognition and all of those kind of things. You don't take that shit with you when you die. Do you know what I mean? And you have to strengthen your own individual sense of personal power that comes from your own connection to source, to the universe, to love, and not as an aggrandizement of your own persona and your own ego and all of that. That can be one thing. Then there is another side of it that is, if you're a complete doormat, right, and people poop on your head all the time, right, part of your journey may be actually to strengthen so that that doesn't happen, and so that you do not allow other people's Nazi to rain on your parade, right? That helps you to strengthen so that you become a more solid light and you move out of victimhood and you reclaim all of the pieces of who you are, right? And it also helps the other person's inner Nazi to be less able to be a Nazi, right? Because it's finding a boundary and it's finding somebody that says, no, we're not going to do that. Now...
Yeah, and you know, the Nazi needs to know that it's not okay. I have to say one little thing about the inner Nazi. It's that part of us that wants everything perfect.
Mm-hmm.
It's the part of us that says, I just want to be adored. I just want this. It really drives me mad when people say just. But it's all about denial. It's all about not acknowledging the work that you have to do in order to actually make things truly perfect. It's like a shortcut. Like, you know, everything would be great if it wasn't for all those people over there.
Yeah, it's kind of like a not wanting to do the work and to have it all easy, right? And this, I'm glad you said that, because before I wrote this newsletter, I wrote another one, which then ended up scrapped, right? Because it was not flowing right, and so I decided to scrap it. But I wrote the whole thing, and part of where... I was going in too many directions at the same time, and I decided it was no good. I would recycle it as an article at some point. But one of the things that I was trying to say in the first incarnation of that thing was be aware of bliss and ease, right? Because we now have a culture that worships bliss and ease, right? And even spiritually, we have the whole New Age thing that is like, follow your bliss, and if it's bliss, great. If it's not bliss, forget it. Bliss and ease, right? Well, actually, bliss and ease is great if it is the outcome of the harmony that is occurring in your own life, right? But if you make bliss and ease the goal, and that is what you're trying to do and pursue, you are going to be somebody that avoids anything that requires effort and anything that requires stretching and development and self-development and your own, doing your inner work. And then bliss and ease becomes dark, because it becomes what you have just said, the denial, the wanting to get the shortcut, the not doing what it is that you're supposed to be doing, and not putting in your time and your thought and your thinking and your consideration. And also, if you want bliss and ease and somebody in your life is in trouble, but helping them interferes with your bliss and ease, you're not going to do it, right? So then you become selfish, and then you become gradually service to self and so on, right? So, yeah.
Yeah.
And do you remember we talk about sci-fi, you and I, a lot, because
I was just going to say, what about the gone?
Exactly. I was just about to go there. That in the V series, which I would say is recommended watching, because I think it's there's a lot of first of all, the ministry the DOD financed V. Okay, that tells you a lot already, right there. The making of V. But basically, one of the ways in which the reptilian queen controls everybody in her spaceship and on the planet is with these bliss sessions, in which she sends out beautiful bliss transmissions to the whole planet, and everybody is so happy in their bliss that they are not realizing that they're being colonized by an evil reptilian species in human skin suits. Right? That they offer them blue energy and all sorts of bliss and ease of all kinds, and humanity allows for this invasion to occur without realizing that any of it is happening, because everything is so pleasant and so great. Okay. So we don't have to be in, you know, the martyr victim consciousness that used to be in the old energy of, like, everything has to be pain and suffering to be valuable. Because that's one extreme that is not good either. But now we have this other extreme that is like everything has to be blissful and feed my senses and feed my well-being and my ego, and we shy away from the things that actually require a little bit more endurance or juice, or that make us uncomfortable in any way. For example, standing up to what is happening on this planet, as most people who are in the truth movement or InfoWarrior movement or whatever all know, is actually really uncomfortable. Because if you stand at Thanksgiving dinner with your family and you start talking about 9/11, although it may not be appropriate to do that, most of the time you will be ultra unpopular. Okay? So talking truth and standing by one's truth very often is not a particularly popular thing. It doesn't win you popularity points. It's a bit, little bit easier now, but in the past it used to be really hard. And, you know, it requires for somebody to move into a zone that sometimes can be quite uncomfortable. But if you want to create change, you have to be willing to step a couple of steps in front of the collective consciousness and... All right.
Sorry, collective consciousness and...
Okay, and basically lead, right? Because that's what we're doing to some degree. We're leading one step ahead of the consciousness. It's like consciousness, you have to go over here because where you're going is not the right way to go. So I have to embrace my own truth and step one step ahead of the collective consciousness so that I can model where the collective consciousness needs to go. And that is not always very comfortable as an experience. Who was it? Somebody said... truth, first of all, is ridiculed, then it's attacked, and eventually it's accepted. Like, anybody that wants to create a shift in paradigm has to be willing to be the person that goes in front and gets first ridiculed, and then attacked, and then eventually maybe accepted, right?
And then maybe somebody takes your idea and promotes it with themselves and gets really rich.
That's true, and that sucks.
Big time.
That totally sucks. But if you're truly detached in your consciousness and you've reached ultra guru state, reach your avatar beingness, then it doesn't matter as long as the shift happens, right?
That's right. As far as I'm concerned, anybody can take any of my inventions. I have invented a radiant energy device. I haven't made an implementation of it yet, but I've got it in my mind. Meanwhile, we're about 10 minutes away from the top of the show. So we're talking about the shift that is happening. I mean, like I'm saying, Katie, I can feel different. I feel different from how I did before Tuesday. And it was Tuesday when my stomach went a bit funny, and I realized that it was because I was eating. You know, every time I was eating food, I felt funny, but I didn't feel funny if I didn't eat food, and I wasn't feeling hungry. It's a sort of... It was a kind of cross between being full and being empty. It's like, what the heck's going on with this signal, you know?
Yeah. It's funny because I had a very similar experience with the food. For different reasons, but I had a similar experience with the food this week. That it felt... I just skipped several meals without realizing that I had done so. And one of the things that I found was that on the day in which I ate hardly anything, right, my psychic channel was like super clear. I was sitting down and doing some tuning in for myself, because there's a couple of things in my life at the moment that I want to shift. And I was kind of getting quiet with myself to see, you know, what would be best to do and how do I work with this and so on. And I could hear my guides in my ear so clear. And it was like, oh, this is cool. I don't have to stretch or make an effort at all. It's like, direct channel. It's great. I'm liking this. Right. And then I had a burrito. And the effect stopped.
Really? How interesting. And, you know, I'm just dismantling the burrito in my mind. Like, you got like the gluten that is in the wrap. You've got potentially GMO meat. Was it a meat one?
It was a carnitas burrito.
All right.
Right. So meat and it's basically the one that I had was meat and avocado and onions and cheese with wheat to wrap around it, but I don't really eat the wheat wrap around it that much because I'm quite aware of the gluten thing. I can eat gluten every now and then, but if I eat too much of it, my energy starts to really do go funky, right? And I really do believe that the wheat has been tampered with, because human beings have been eating wheat for thousands of years, and all of a sudden we're all allergic to this stuff. I don't think it's a coincidence.
You know, I just had a thought. Do you remember that stuff that was in the Chinese... Where did it come from? There was stuff that was coming from China. It was white powder stuff. Mm-hmm. Was going into baby food.
Yeah, I remember that. Mm-hmm.
I wonder if it's gone into the bread now.
Well, something is not right though, right? Because literally everybody is really allergic to that stuff now. Most people now, if they take the gluten out, they feel much better. And it's mostly the wheat, because I think that there's people that are really, really intolerant that will react to anything, but the wheat in particular is the culprit, I think. Right. So yeah, but in terms of the energy on the planet, I think that every now and then we have a step up, right? So all of a sudden the energy goes higher. And you and I, we've talked about this before in one of our shows a while back, that when the energy steps up like that, very soon after, or very soon before, there is almost like a massive karmic clearing type experience. So it's as if we go through And this is part of the galactic cycle, by the way. This is part of the energy from the galactic cycle that comes in. It's very activating. And so it's like we have a new pulse that comes in from the galactic center. Usually it works, it goes from the galactic center to the sun. Then from the sun, it goes to the Earth and to our energy field. When it hits our energy field, initially there's a big clearing. Stuff comes up. Our life starts to become very intense. Sometimes it's physical, and it's our bodies that have various kinds of intensity. Last year, my nervous system used to be very triggered by these kind of things, and something must have adjusted, because now I don't feel that anymore. Right? But then after your stuff has been cleared out, all of a sudden, you walk on water. You have these moments of supremely high consciousness. And I've had several times like this where all of a sudden I'm ultra psychic, ultra clairvoyant, ultra clairaudient, and so on. And then the next wave comes and you start over. Right? And then you're into the quagmire again, working out and working through your stuff. Okay? And this thing of working through our stuff, it's part of the process, because as we work through our stuff, we clear up patterns, and we clear up patterns for ourselves, but we also clear up patterns for the collective, and we also clear up patterns on the timelines, because a lot of these experiences that we have with other people with who we have karma, especially for people that are part of the big soul group that has come here to help, very often those patterns are tied into past lives that have to do with the takeover of the dark forces of planet Earth. So even if you're working on your stuff, you're actually working on a line of history. And as you're clearing your own things, you're clearing that line in time as well. And you're helping the collective consciousness to move forward. Does that make sense, what I just said? I don't know if it's...
Yes, because, I mean, this is part of the individual work that affects the macrocosm, but...
Absolutely.
Well, I mean, one thing I wanted to add, which is as a personal thing, is that I now have been facing some of the early traumas that I didn't even realize I had. I've only been talking to people with PTSD for the last 3 years, and realizing that, oh, hang on a second, I exhibit some of these, and realizing that it's the comfort food eating that has produced the body fat that is like the armor, and it's also carrying that toxin, and it's the comfort food that I then need to unpeel that layer that I put on. And then I can get back to the trauma that I was running away from.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And I do that too, by the way, the comfort food, so my weight goes up and down depending on how stressed I am, right? And in 2002 I did a really, really radical cleanse, and as part of that cleanse I was only eating raw vegetables, and that's it, and not that much of it either, and drinking all of the stuff that was detoxing the hell out of me, right? And after about a week I was crying my eyes out every 2 minutes, and I was having flashbacks about stuff that I didn't remember about, and it was literally as if the body was just throwing out all of this trauma. And I am convinced that one of the reasons which I was doing that cleanse in the first place was literally so that I would remember some of these things that were like stuck in the body. So the whole cellular memory thing, it's absolutely real, right? And in fact, the guy that wrote the book of the cleanse that I was doing, he was saying that when people would literally let go of certain kinds of toxins, the toxins held the memory precisely of when they had been ingested. And then you would have this recall as you let that toxin go. The recall would come out at the same time. And that there was a woman that during a particularly traumatic time when she was a kid, had eaten some colours, like wax crayons or something, right? And she was doing this cleanse and released these wax crayons that had stayed in her tummy for the whole of the time. And before she actually released them, she had the whole memory of when that had actually happened. So the body and the emotions and the trauma and so on are intimately intertwined, right? So absolutely on that. Which is also why we get manipulated with food and with bad food. We there's a reason which we're supposed to eat properly, because it's all very tied into our consciousness. Okay?
Yes, and I think we have to leave it at that. Thank you so much, Katie. It's been marvellous, as always, to chat with you. And it's we're in a real roller coaster time, so it's always good. I mean, what I like to say is, you know, this is we're the grandstand view of the shift here. So,
all right. So we're going to be back in 2 weeks. Is that prior to Christmas? I can't remember.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope so. Mm-hmm. That should be. We'll have an update then, and who knows what's going to be going on.
So we can wish happy holidays to people later.
Yeah, that's right. So have a great December. Look, check out the litanies on everbeyond.info. And Katie Galanti, reclaimingthelight.com. Thank you all.
Yes. Thank you, bye-bye.
Beyond.